The night's coming. And we've got to... D.L. Moody once said, this world is a sinking ship, and all we can do is rescue as many people as we can. Now, I'm going to shift a little bit what I was going to speak on tonight. Pastor, we had a little prayer time together, and Pastor Curtis said, I want you to give us a gospel, talk about the gospel. So if you have your Bibles, open it to the book of Galatians, because the book of Galatians is all about the gospel. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you an outline to it here in a minute, and it all has to do about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, you know, he's accepted Christ on the road to Damascus, and then he went into seclusion shortly thereafter, in three years in the Arabian Bible Institute.
Amen.
Into the desert, where the Holy Spirit was his teacher, and he had to get his head screwed on right, because he had a lot of misconceptions, and he knew the Old Testament, but he knew it in the wrong way, and now he had the Holy Spirit in his heart to be his teacher. And then he proceeded another 14 years to preach the gospel in different places. Then he come up to Jerusalem, to Antioch, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here later if we have time. But anyway... he went on his first missionary journey, and you can read about that in the books of Acts. And he went through an area called Galatia, Derbe, Iconium, Lystra. Lystra, he was literally stoned to death and had an out-of-the-body experience and went up to heaven. Now, later on, he tells about that story. He says, I know a man, and he tells about the story. Well, it's pretty obvious who that man was, but he didn't want to brag about it. Sometimes God checks us, doesn't want us to brag about things. I've been thinking the last few years, we've been saying in CEF, by our 80th birthday, is there anybody here old enough to remember the movie Around the World in 80 Days? It was back when they were first starting to have a movie. Cliff raised it. The idea is that we would like to ask, prayed to God, we started this 4 or 5 years ago, that by our 80th birthday, if God would help us, we would have at least one full-time Christian missionary worker in every country in the world. No organization has ever done this, but God is using CEF so mightily. It's just unbelievable what he's doing. So, boy, I've been getting really excited about this, looking forward to the day when I could declare that, hey, it's happened. We got missionaries in every country in the world, and you want to know what? We're down to 2 or 3 right now. We're very close. But, matter of fact, one of them being North Korea, there's a Muslim South Pacific island that's 100% Muslim. There's one other place in the Middle East, but I think we, as of now, we may have a missionary there. So we're down to a couple. But you want to know what? We've been come checked by the Holy Spirit and say, look, you can't brag about this. We cannot put this in writing, and I'm not even supposed to say. In a public place, I can say it here because everybody's Christians, but if I was just talking to the news media or something, I cannot make that statement, because if that word ever got back to, particularly to this maniac in North Korea or to some of these other countries, they'd say, what? There's one of them people in our country, they would seek them out like dogs and kill them. So there's about 15, 20 countries that our missionaries' lives are in danger all the time. So we are not going to be able to brag on that. And is that just like God? But anyway, you got your Bibles open to Galatians. Paul did a great work, started these churches in Galatia, and then returned back. And then from Ephesus on his second missionary journey, probably in A.D. 49, he wrote this letter of Galatians. And it is the first book of all of his epistles that he wrote, of his 12 or 13, 13 if you think he wrote Hebrews. But anyway, we won't get into that. But this is the first one he wrote. So to that being the first one kind of makes it a little more interesting for me. But what happened was this. After he left there, over time, it seems like everywhere he went and he would lead people to the Lord and start a church, these Judaizers would follow behind him and try to talk these people out of salvation by grace and try to get them. They say, look, you got to do the law too to be Christians and teach a false gospel. So Paul's purpose in writing this book was to correct that, to correct this false doctrine that was being taught, and to tell them the pure gospel, to give them the pure gospel. So if you feel led at some point in the near future, I'm just going to give you a bird's eye view of Galatians. The time would never allow us to do the whole thing. But it's interesting. Curtis wanted me to talk about the gospel. Well, here's something very interesting. The first two chapters of the book, Paul defends the gospel. You might want to write this down, because this is about as simple an outline as you can ever get of a book, and I always got to have a simple outline to keep it in my mind. So I could give you a whole page outline, but you'd never remember. The second chapters 3 and 4, the next two chapters, he talks about he actually defines the gospel and tells what it is. So that's very important, isn't it? Then the last two chapters, like often in most of Paul's epistles, the last half are practical. The first half is doctrine. The last two chapters, he gives details on how to apply the gospel in our lives. So he defends the gospel, he defines the gospel, and he gives details on how to apply the gospel. Now, when I hear Galatians, probably because I went through that Dawson Troutman's Navigators for 2 or 3 years and memorized a ton of scriptures. But what comes to my mind when I hear that is two verses especially. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then I think of the other verse, the just shall live by faith alone. And there's lots of other wonderful verses in there, but that's what comes to my mind. But in chapter 1, we have no doubt that Paul wrote, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ. And so he is the author, okay? And he says, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. See, because of what these Judaizers were doing, they were false teachers, and they preached another gospel. Verse 8, he says, get this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That is a very strong word in Greek. Let him be accursed, given off to Satan and given off to hell. What's that remind you of, an angel from heaven? What sect or false religion teaches about an angel from heaven giving them new revelation? Yeah, the Mormons. The angel Baloney Moroni or whatever his name was. get this, verse 12, for I neither received this gospel of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He got it directly from God himself. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And he gives a little bit of background on himself there, that after he accepted Christ, he immediately conferred not with flesh nor blood nor anybody else, but he went into Arabia, verse 17, and after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. So that's what I call the Arabian Bible Institute. So chapter 2, he says, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So that word went up in the Greek as he ascended up to Jerusalem. So when you go up to Jerusalem, you got to go up. It's up about over 2,000 feet in elevation. But he goes on to proceed there and talk about having this meeting in Antioch. Verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." So he said, God chose Peter for the circumcision of the Jews, but he chose me for the Gentiles. So, but he said, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars in the church, perceived the grace that was given with me, they gave to me and Barnabas a right hand of fellowship, which is the right thing to do, that we should go unto the heathen, that they, and they unto the circumcision. So only they would that we would remember the poor and the same which I was forwarded to. But now, here's a neat kind of a cute thing. If Peter really was the first pope, which I don't believe so, but there are always those that do, it's kind of interesting that here a tent maker tells him off and corrects him. It says, Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So before James and John came there, up there, Peter was fellowshipping with the Gentiles who received Christ, eating with them, sitting with them. But when they came, he pulled away from them and went over and fellowshipped and stayed with the Jews, and they wouldn't eat and fellowship with. So Peter was wrong. He was double-minded. He was a double-minded man and stable in all his ways, is he not? And Paul had to correct him, which is, it was kind of an interesting little tidbit statistic there, that obviously Peter listened, but it was so bad they almost pulled Barnabas away too. So, he goes on here talking about the how the justification is not by the law, and how these Gentiles do not have to obey the law. In the rest of chapter 2 here, he says, verse 16, "Know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." So how do you get saved? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then that leads up to, he says, you know, by the law can no flesh be justified. But that leads up to verse 20, which I quoted to you, that I'm crucified with Christ. So that's the first two chapters. Now, Paul defines the gospel in the next two chapters, and he starts out, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" We're in chapter 3, verse 2. "That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." So, Paul in other places, and here, it's important that you know this. What is the gospel? Every Christian should know this. If the children in our Good News Club can tell you what the gospel is, you should be able to tell. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, and that's how simple it is. Jesus died on the cross and suffered and died for your sins and for mine, okay? He was buried, which is very important, to show he was dead, deader than dead, and there was no resuscitation. He actually was resurrected with a new glorified body like you and I will have. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he just brought him back to life into a fleshly body. Now, Jesus is the only one so far that has the new resurrected body that we will have when the voice of the archangel calls out and a trumpet sounds. Then we'll be changed to be like him and have that resurrected body. Now, so when you're talking to somebody, it's very simple. What do they have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what it is. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe that he died on that cross for you personally and suffered and died for you. And you believe that, the Holy Spirit will penetrate your wicked heart and cleanse it, wash it white as snow, and permanently, forever dwell in you for all eternity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the gospel. So he goes on, talks, gives some examples here about Abraham and how Abraham believed God by faith. And in the process of doing this, I'm going to share something kind of neat with you here. Look at verse 11. In teaching them, he's talking about the gospel and how you're saved by faith. He says this verse right here, "The just shall live by faith." He quotes Habakkuk 2:4. All right. Now, this verse appears three times in the New Testament, all in the writings of Paul, if Paul wrote Hebrews, and he probably did. But anyway, I'm going to share something with you. The just shall live by faith. Now listen to me. The first time he quotes it is here, because this is the first book he wrote. But when the Holy Spirit helped the men put the canon of the Scripture together, they put Romans after Acts, and for a good reason, because it is the book of legal terms. It's a very highly doctrinal book, Romans. And it has to do with the court proceedings where we are found not guilty, we are justified. So when I read this verse in Romans, I say this: the just shall live by faith alone. We're justified in Christ. Legally, we're free from sin. We're saved for eternity. Now, when I get here into Galatians, where it's telling us how to live, Christ lives in me, I say, the just shall live by faith. Now stop and think about it. You received Christ by faith, those of you. I won't make an assumption that everybody in here knows Christ as their Savior, because I don't know you personally. If you don't, this is a good night to do it, to come get to know him. But Scripture says, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. So how do you walk this Christian life in this wicked world? By faith. Daily by faith. It's no different. It's not rocket science. Now, Hebrews is the next place it appears. And what's Hebrews? It's a book about faith, isn't it? We have the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. So when I read it there, in my mind, I read it, the just shall live by faith. By faith alone, it's a book of faith. So those are those three times that this appears in the New Testament. That's just a little interesting sideline. I want to whet your appetite, and maybe you'll go home and study this book the next few weeks for your devotions, all right? Here's a neat one. Of course, we use Romans 3:23 to show people that they're sinners. But verse 22 says, and this is kind of the gospel here too. It says, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's Romans, isn't it? Romans 1. Time? I'm kind of watching there. I got another 5 minutes. Okay. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And that comes from Acts 16:31. Okay. So why do we have the law anyway? Well, verse 24. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law shows us that we are sinners. Okay. Then chapter 4, it talks about that we're redeemed. That's part of the gospel. And it gives us faith in the law. Let's see. Here's one more kind of thing I want to share with you before I close. Okay. Paul, this is the first book he wrote. And he talks about, in verse 13, about when he first came to them, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Everywhere Paul went, he preached the gospel. And he said, through my infirmity of the flesh. And he said, you folks really loved me. And how do I know that? Verse 15, where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Okay. Paul later talks about a thorn in the flesh that he had. He had some kind of fleshly ailment. And he prayed three different times that God would take it away. And I hear lots of preachers say, I wonder what that was. Well, if they would read their Bible and study deeply, I think they'd find out what it was. And that's what I'm going to share with you here tonight. And then I'm going to move forward now to the last two chapters and share with you. I don't have time to get into this, but Paul in the last two chapters gives us practical ways to live. He talks about the 17 works of the flesh and the 8 fruits of the Spirit. But in verse 11 of chapter 6, he says here, see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hands. So he's showing them, hey, I'm not totally blind yet. I wrote this letter to you, but if you know anybody who's blind or near blind, when they write in very large letters. But guess what? From now on, most of the books after that, he has somebody be his scribe. As you read some of his other letters, Titus or Timothy or Luke or somebody wrote it as he dictated. So he went totally blind. So for some reason, God did not choose to heal him. God could have taken this away. But for some reason, God used that in his life. So take courage. If you've got physical ailments, you've got difficulties, whatever they are, and you pray for them, and God chooses not to heal you, that's all right. Take joy in that, because he can bless you in other ways and actually use that to his glory. And that's what we all should want. To close tonight, I'm going to close with the way Paul closed. The last verse of chapter 6, he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I just want to encourage you. It's good to see this many folk out here on a weeknight. A lot of churches nowadays don't even have midweek service. Nobody shows up. Even big churches don't. So it's just so thankful to see you faithful folks here on a Wednesday night. And I'm just going to encourage you to just keep walking by faith. Keep trusting the Lord. You got a lot coming through with this property and everything. If God wants you to have that, you will have it, okay? But just be patient. Let God work. Let God do the work. And then you'll know it's of him, and you'll know that he wants you to have it. And I want to encourage all of you, and especially you, Pastor Curtis, just to keep on keeping going. Don't grow weary in well-doing. So, I'm really excited to be here tonight because we're going to have a party. But before we do, I'll pray and I'll ask the blessing on the food if you want me to, and we can conclude. Okay. Father, I just pray that you'll give us, everyone here, a renewed love for your word. That they can see if we take the time to study it, allow your Holy Spirit to teach it, there's some really great, exciting things in there. There are things, Lord, that can help us to be victorious, to help us live this life now. Help us let you, the Lord Jesus, control our lives and work out in us and do what you'd have us to do. And Father, there's no greater joy than that. I just can't imagine somebody who doesn't know you, how a horrible life they live, and knowing, Lord, they don't know, but that they're going to spend eternity in hell being tortured day and night forever. So God, just keep us on target, keep us on track, keep us sharing the gospel. The commandment that you gave us, Lord Jesus, was to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, every age, young and old alike, Lord. We're never too late. If people have accepted you even on their deathbed. But Father, we We just ask that we'll be faithful and let you do the rest. And Lord, we look forward to a great time of fellowship here tonight. And we thank you for Justin and his faithfulness. He's been here for serving you for quite a long time now, Lord. And as we celebrate him a little bit here tonight in his birthday, we just pray we can bring some joy into his life. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.